Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, you're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
Well, well, well. Last time we talked to you was Friday afternoon. We were sending you out to game two. Warriors had a 1-0 lead, and we return here on Monday afternoon. And, Ray, the series is over.
Yeah, essentially.
There you go. Golden State Warriors are a pretty good basketball team again. All of a sudden, there it is. It's happening once again. And it was very cool to see Andrew Wiggins finally get the moment that we reserve for, sexier, flashier players. Like, he actually gets a game now. Like, there have been several Klay Thompson games in the playoffs. There's been a lot of Steph Curry games, although they get underappreciated just because underappreciated is the only way Steph Curry gets appreciated by not just the national media, but the local media to an extent. We now have an Andrew Wiggins game. That was the Andrew Wiggins game. He wasn't the best player in it, but he certainly had an unbelievable signature in the game and moments throughout that just kept the Warriors in front. And Dallas, look, I know you don't like a post-game press conference being analyzed too much, but the Mavericks, Ray, are already talking about this series and this season in a post-tense. They know it, they feel it, and they probably got the inkling that they were swimming in waters a little bit too deep for them when the Warriors came back in spectacular fashion in Game 2 on Friday night.
Well, Friday night was the revelation, but yesterday was the killer because it just reinforced everything you thought might be happening in this series, starting with the fact that Dallas loves to take threes, but they're reluctant to make them. I mean, they're shooting horribly,
yeah,
and they don't stop. The second thing is Luka Doncic's usage rate is ridiculously high because it has to be, and it's not helping them.
Right.
I mean, if he's not scoring, they're not scoring unless it's Spencer Dinwiddie. So this is not a criticism of Doncic, but he has less help with him than Nikola Jokic had with him in the Denver series. This is one guy trying to beat seven.
You can look at an awful lot of James Harden's usage rates and say there is a direct reflection and correlation between that number and a level of selfish play. You could say the same thing about Russell Westbrook. You can't say that about Luka Doncic because he doesn't have any options. He certainly, in Game 3, didn't get anything. What was it? Maxi Kleber was just awful. Here's the thing. Reggie Bullock doesn't get to insist on the word lock being pronounced so heavily in his name anymore. He's back to just being Reggie Bullock because that guy has officially missed as many big shots or any shot. How about all the shots is what he missed, basically, in Game 3. He was dreadful. The rest of the Rockets around Luka were absolutely dreadful. And the Golden State Warriors, to a man, felt like they overachieved. We got Steve Kerr today in an hour from now. At 4 o'clock, he joins us here on 95.7 The Game. We're really looking forward to talking to him, and he should be in a very, very good mood because his team is on the verge of a sixth NBA Finals appearance. And look, I don't want to go put carts ahead of horses here, Ray, I don't. They still have to eliminate Dallas, and then there will be a hell of an NBA Finals waiting for them. I don't care who comes out. I don't care how back and forth Boston-Miami get. Both of those teams got the scrapple in them. There's no doubt about it. But the Warriors, should they end this sucker tomorrow night, will have 8 days of full rest banked into a 9-day pie between their final game and the first game of the NBA Finals, which will begin on June 2nd, no matter who ends up greeting the Warriors in the NBA Finals. And I'm not trying to jinx anything here, but you can put him in. Because no team has ever blown a 3-0 lead. And this certainly will not be the team to do it, because Dallas isn't the team to overcome it. So that works both ways. Yes, the Warriors are fantastic, but Dallas now, with hindsight being 2020, they look unqualified, unmotivated. Ray, they're supposed to be the young up-and-coming team that wants it more than the established veteran team. Like, all the earmarks of, man, these young kids want it, that was all over the Memphis series, really cannot be found in this Dallas series.
Well, a lot of what Dallas looks like is based on the fact that they cannot make a shot while having no patience to find the best possible shot. So I don't think it's the youth that's defeating them. It's that they're not shooting at all. I mean, they can't wait to fire up threes. They've taken 138 threes in three games, and they're making 32% of them. They've taken 60 fewer 2-point shots than 3-point shots. It's like, we know we're not doing this well, but we'll just shoot our way out of it. That's madness. They have guys who could go to the basket if they chose to, but they're not choosing to. The first chance they get to fire one up, they're firing it up, and they're making them as though they were Orlando.
It's one thing to have a game plan. It's one thing to have a system. It's another to not react to the information you're getting back in real time. And the information is overwhelming to Dallas. They are not hitting their shots. Besides Luka, they don't really have a shooter. All due respect to Dinwiddie and Brunson, who are at least showing up, bringing their sneakers to the gym. The rest of that roster right now, when you measure it just against the way it's playing, it looks bad. When you measure it against the Golden State Warriors, it looks awful. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. We have an awful lot to get to today. It's an awful lot of Warriors basketball. Obviously, look at where they are. Look at what they've done. And again, Ray, I don't want to start putting the cart before the horse here. I was about to say this, and then I kind of got distracted. If this sucker ends in a championship, okay, just if this season ends in a title for the Golden State Warriors, I think it officially puts the Warriors dynasty ahead of the 49ers dynasty in terms of historical sports significance here in Northern California. And that almost sounds wrong on its surface, like nothing could ever get better or more dominant or more historically significant than those late 80s, early 90s 49ers teams. But man, I think we're looking at it if they really pull this off.
Well, the difference, though, is awfully narrow, because the Warriors, to follow your scenario, will have won 4 in 8 years. The 49ers won 4 in 9, and both teams were god-awful before they got to this point. So in a lot of ways, they're very similar, and I don't know that it's that easy to separate the two of them, but it's worth an argument over 40 or 50 beers.
I think it would be a decent argument, because what I would submit would be, like, here's my case. And it's not that, well, hey, multiple coaches between the 49ers titles, or multiple quarterbacks even. The most important position on the field changed throughout the, you know, thing we're trying to measure as one dynasty in and of itself. The thing about the Golden State Warriors is that if they do it this year, the argument can officially be made that the only thing that paused the winning was injury. And the absolute apex of LeBron's basketball life, which on its own is a considerable entity in the history of the sport of basketball. So it's really amazing where this team is, what they're on the verge of doing. One more win puts them in the NBA Finals. Five more wins means they are champions of the entire world. When you look back at where this team was in just the month of December, it's amazing that they're here. It's incredible that they're here. I know we don't believe an awful lot of in momentum, but there were some echoes of Game 2 that picked up early in Game 3. We're going to look at those. Again, everyone still got that Game 3 glow about them, right? We still have to go back and look at what happened in Game 2 Friday night. That was an incredible game at Chase Center. Among the things that this team has now done, 26 straight series with a road win. That is just as big boy basketball is allowed to get. And look, I know that everyone has heard the Wiggins dunk. Great call by Tim Roy here. The Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller call on TNT was also fantastic. But the most important question I have for you today is, have you heard this in Spanish?
10-38 para Dallas. Wiggins. ¡Otra! ¡La canasta! ¡Qué clavada de Wiggins! Pero es una falta ofensiva.
Even he was like, what? Offensive foul? What the hell are you looking at, Mark Davis? You're not even positioned to make the call that you should. That if you are going to be making this call, you need more information than you're getting from where you're standing. But that's not going to hesitate you to try to wipe away what is now the signature moment of Andrew Wiggins' entire career. Wiggs, what were you thinking when you did that?
Just feeling the energy, you know, that's the main thing. When I seen the rim, that's all I seen. And they tried to take it away from me, but Steve challenged it and we won.
There you go. That man, for a moment, hated that rim. And he took off, and he just took out a level of career underestimation and frustration that ever he might have felt. Oh, my God. What a Mama Chewbacca dunk that really, really was. We have a huge show for you today. We are now 45 minutes away or so from Steve Kerr when he joins us at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We got some things to get into today. You're invited to be a part of it. We just saw the Giants get swept by the Padres. I know the A's are back out on the road tonight. They're in Seattle. We got a little NFL news to get to. We got a champion, a PGA champion to talk about because no one saw that coming really if you woke up on Sunday morning, but it happened. And I have been told that there are enough things happening in the world of soccer where I have to give Ray 3 minutes on soccer before the end of today's show. So that's going to happen.
Well, who told you that? You don't have to do anything.
I know
I don't. Your show.
But
stand up.
Tell Lucas
to shut up.
It's our show.
Lucas, shut up. You hear me?
You got it.
There you go. Lucas, shut up. Ray, shut up. It's my show after all. Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
We are streaming on Twitch. You can find us on YouTube. I don't know why you'd want to watch this, but you can. Twitch.tv/957TheGame. YouTube.com/957TheGame. You can see it all. Ray's got a nice Nordique sweater on today, that's for sure. I've been accused of needing a stylist. Ray's looking sharp. Damon, you not so much. Thank you. Thank you.
A gift. I wouldn't spend this kind of money on me.
Is that a is that a sweatshirt or is that
just
like an official throwback jersey?
No, it's just a hoodie. I don't wear jerseys. Jerseys are wrong.
All right. Looks good, though. I mean, I love that look in terms of just the Nordiques old school sweater. It's great logo.
They should force the Avalanche to wear it.
Absolutely.
In fact, the Avalanche now is starting to use some of the Nordiques' old version of blue in their uniforms, but it's still not the same.
An echo, if you will, of its past.
A flashback.
That brings us to the echo of Game 2. And we don't believe in momentum, and neither should you. There is no momentum in between these series. If you don't believe me, ask the Dallas Mavericks. They aren't riding any momentum of their extraordinary Game 7 win in Phoenix into this series for sure. The game-to-game momentum, again, it's really not there. But I'll tell you, the Mavericks, I think, started believing that they couldn't win not just this series, but beat the Warriors maybe at all in that Game 2 comeback on Friday night. I think they thought that their title this offseason was the upset of Phoenix. And I don't want to say that they were satisfied and decided to put the season away after that, right? Because, look, these have been, in many ways, it's even though the Warriors have a commanding 3-0 lead, these games have been, you know, relatively close at times. This isn't the comical blowout of a basketball team as much as it is the Warriors are doing what I thought that they would do, and the Dallas Mavericks aren't even coming close to what they need to do. Ray, do you remember anyone telling you that the Western Conference Finals was going to be a three-point shooting contest? Do you remember anyone saying that on the radio last week several times?
I think Chris Wallace.
He was all over it. Maybe that's where I picked it up. I don't know. But really, what we're looking at here is Dallas, 43 of 138 threes total in this series. That's 31%. The Warriors are 35 of 89. That is 39%, and that is why they are up 3-0. There are a lot of other reasons. Obviously, Looney, outstanding. What they have done just on the glass and points in the paint alone go a long way. But if you really just wanted to boil it down to how are the Warriors winning, they're hitting more threes than a team that is officially taking way too many. And that's why they are, well, they're hitting at a greater rate than a team that is officially taking too many.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is, you know, Dallas doesn't have a discernible offense that I can see, not in this series anyway. They had an offense against Phoenix. They shot 40% from three against them, and they seem to be doing more things within that offense. But for whatever number of reasons, Golden State has convinced them that there's no getting inside the arc. So they either that or they just fell in love with the idea that they can shoot their way out of any hole. And like I said, against Phoenix, they shot exceedingly well. Against the Warriors, they've shot exceedingly poorly. And that, more than anything else, tells you why this series is on the verge of extinction.
It's unbelievable watching it just come together in hindsight. Oh, yeah, of course, we should have seen this coming, right? But no, I didn't think so. I didn't think so when we were looking at it coming forward, coming at us. I really thought that Dallas was going to play better than this. And when it comes to, you know, Luka Doncic, Damon, you know, from the Xfinity mobile text line, what do you have to say about your man crush on Luka now? Well, if you don't have one, you don't even know what a basketball player is. Like, Luka Doncic has been nothing short of amazing in this series. Seriously. He is one of the best young players the league has ever seen. And if you don't believe me, you're a basketball idiot. I mean, I don't know what more you need. How about this? Let's put him on a list with Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. Because the only guys who got numbers like he has through 25 playoff games are Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. Like, if that list isn't good enough for you, you don't know what you're talking about. You should exit any single basketball conversation because you don't know anything that you didn't watch on TikTok.
Here's the problem with Doncic. And there is one. He's got 15 assists in three games because he wants to pass the ball to teammates. And if he's not passing it to Spencer Dinwiddie, that's a pointless exercise. There's nothing wrong with Doncic at all, except that he's like Nikola Jokic. He's putting up great numbers by himself. And by myself never wins.
Not against a team. Not against a real team concept, which obviously the Warriors have more of that than just about any other team in the NBA. And what I also wanted to tell you is that Luka is in a club that no superstar wants to be in. He scored 40 points in a game and has watched his team lose for the third time in this postseason. That ties him for the most such games in a single postseason. Here's the other list he is on. Luka Doncic has now lost more 40-point games in 1 year than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or no, as many as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did in 1977, as LeBron James did in 2009, and as Jerry West did in 1965. Again, if you needed one of those guys to win a championship before you would admit they are a superstar, you don't belong in a single basketball conversation that is trying to frame anything historically. You don't. Luka's been amazing. If anything, Ray is saying he's guilty of passing too much.
No, he's guilty of wanting to pass more than he is, but when he passes, unless it's to Dinwiddie, there's no return for it. That's the problem. The 15 assists doesn't tell you how much he wants to get other players involved. It tells you how few players are involved.
Yeah. I mean
that's, you know, so nagging on Doncic is sort of the one thing you can't do when you talk about Dallas. You can beat up nearly anybody else, but he's the one guy who has delivered through three full games. And it was interesting last night that both Reggie Miller and Stan Van Gundy were talking about Dinwiddie as being the only other guy who seemed to want to take a shot that wasn't a hurried three. And at some point, either Jason Kidd's got to tell them, okay, we're going to have to start trying to penetrate here. And if we get our brains beat in, we get our brains beat in. But we can't take 48 threes and make 12 of them. There's no future in that.
There is no future in that. Luka's plus minus tells you all you need to know about him. He gives up as much as points as he produces. His plus minus is because he's on the court all the time and the Warriors are kicking their ass. That's the plus minus.
Yeah,
look at it this way. The Dallas Mavericks have an awful lot of problems about them. Luka Doncic ain't it.
No, the plus minus only tells you so much about what a player does or doesn't do because it's a stat that's captive to the other guys on the floor. And the other thing that is true about this series is that in the first two games, the Warriors shot 56%. And last night, they did not shoot terribly well, but they still shot 46. They're making essentially half their shots. Dallas is making about 35. There's where your plus minus is. You know, It's just, it's, Dallas doesn't have enough people. If you really need to know the boiled down version of this, they don't have enough people.
And what do you say all the time? You know, was that guy on the best team? Not in this series.
No.
Not even close. Not even close. You can say, well, Luka's the modern day James Harden. He plays ISO ball. He doesn't defend. He needs to work an awful lot on his defense. Here's the thing. When you were criticizing that about James Harden, he's been in the league 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Luka's 23. This is his first big go-around. I mean, he basically said as he conceded everything at the end of Game 3.
I think the first two quarters, I played very bad. That's on me. But I'm still learning. And I think, you know, after this season is done, whatever we are, I think I'm going to look back, you know, and learn a lot of things. You know, it's my first time in conference finals in the NBA. I'm 23, man. I'm still learning a lot.
23, I'm still learning a lot, and I just carried this team here on my back.
Yeah, I mean, there are things he can do to improve. He does need to be a better defender. He could use lose a little more baby fat.
Yep.
But mostly what he could use is some help.
Find me a player that didn't have room for improvement in their age 23 season, Steph Curry included.
Yeah, but this is not about age. This is about help. It's not about age. It's about aid. They need more players. And they tried to do that with Porzingis. That turned out to be a modified disaster. So they've got to go back and they've got to look at this roster and make Jalen Brunson not the second best player, but the fourth best player. And Spencer Dinwiddie not the third best player, but maybe the sixth man. They need to do a better job with the roster in general. And the fact that they got to the conference final, other than the fact that it's very reminiscent of the year that Portland got to the conference final in 19 with just Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, they got beaten 4-2, and they haven't figured out how to get back since. So their urgency starts as soon as this series is over because they've got to repair the roster around him.
Someone's trying to say, you don't get it. You don't remember. You kept on saying Luka's great in the context of Warriors fans. Better watch out for the Mavericks. Yeah, well, I didn't think that the rest of his team wouldn't bother playing basketball. I did not assume that the rest of his team around him would collectively forget how to play. Or his coach, who I thought was on the up, would collectively forget how to make any in-game adjustment. And whatever you wanted to say Jason Kidd did to get his team through the Western Conference semifinals, he's done nothing to help his team improve in the Western Conference finals. The fact that he hasn't told guys, you drive to the rim, you shoot less, you take a mid-range jumper just once tonight, see if it happens, is why this team is about to get eliminated. The Warriors have been fantastic. Equally, the Dallas Mavericks around Luka Doncic have been mega disappointments to the point where you just got performances at home in Dallas, the type of performances that role players are supposed to have maybe on the road. But these guys played the entirety of Game 3 with their own hands wrapped around their own neck. What a bunch of choke artists around this guy. I mean, there's no other way to say it. The Warriors have been great defensively and in a lot of their schemes, but their schemes are only to get the ball out of Luka's hands. That's it. The Warriors have invited time and time again, wide open, undefended, unchallenged three-point shots. And they bet on the right pony because these guys aren't hitting anything.
And they're being murdered on the board.
And they're being crushed.
They are averaging 14 fewer rebounds per game to a team whose tallest guy is 6'8".
How about Kevon Looney?
I mean, I'll tell you what. The next person who wants to tell me that Kevon Looney is the sort of person the Warriors should be outgrowing, nope. He's here for as long as he wants to be. He's on eternal scholarship.
He's something else. He is something else. And he decided, you know, I think at the right time, perfectly for this team, I will start playing the best basketball of my life. What a boon for the Golden State Warriors. Oh, Kevon Looney decided, I am going to now throw down the greatest games I've ever played. And that's what he's doing. He's averaging 13 points, 10 rebounds, and 3 assists in the Western Conference Finals. He averaged 5.17 rebounds in the semifinal. Remember, this is a guy who was just removed from a starting lineup and then got a start in Game 6 and pulled down 22 rebounds, which ended that series against Memphis. It's been incredible for Kevon Looney. And then, again, Andrew Wiggins. What more can you say? Tim Roy with a call.
Wiggins puts it on the deck. He'll drive the glass. Goes up for the
jam! Oh, my goodness! Oh, they're going to call it an offensive foul on Wiggins.
Number 22.
Wiggins called for the clear out. That's his third. That's a turnover. Not a team foul. Steve Kerr's got to call a timeout. He may challenge that.
Yeah, he may challenge that. I cannot believe in real time that that was even considered an offensive foul. Mark Davis is officially looking at things that aren't there, including that Draymond Green backcourt. Ray, that's as far away from back. That backcourt call was closer to the three-point line, I thought, than half court in terms of backcourt. Backcourt? Are you kidding me? There was 15 inches of daylight in between that ball and that half-court line. What are these officials doing?
The backcourt call was close, but they teach you, if it's not egregious, don't call it. It's almost like you're looking to make a call there because it's not.
Because the league memo came in.
The league memo, my ass. That was just bad officiating. And as far as the offensive foul goes, this is what happens when you put officials and you tell them to stay in one spot. Because if you look and see where Mark Davis is standing, he can't possibly imagine whether there's contact or not. He's just seeing the flail. He's not seeing any contact because he can't see any contact. That's why you want your officials moving with the flow of the ball. It can't be that hard to teach, and yet they've been teaching it just this way for 20 years. It's if you want stationary officials in a game that is increasingly motion-based, you're going to put them in positions to fail repeatedly.
Stop calling things that you cannot see because you are on the blind side of that player's body.
Yeah, and
how about that? How about that? Can we do that? Can we agree? Like, hey, if you are going to stand here, at least don't call the stuff that you couldn't possibly see without X-ray vision. Do that. Is that asking too much?
No, the thing to ask is, can you make them move? Can you make them work as hard as the players work? I mean, it's not like you have to run 9 miles like they do, but you can move 10 feet. And that's the problem. They want them stationary for God only knows what reason.
What home plate umpire is stationary? They get in position to make the right call. They start edging up the third baseline if they know they're going to get a bang bang. You know, I just don't understand. There's nothing that says you as an official have to stand here and make the wrong call.
No,
you can stand here and make the right call or make no call. How about swallowing your frickin' whistle and letting basketball happen? There's that.
You could do that too, but you greatly increase your chances of not making the wrong call if you are in a position to see it. If you stand where you are and hope that the play comes to you, all you have is guesswork. All you have is guesswork, and that's the real problem, is they put them in positions where they have to guess, and you don't want officials guessing. You know, the backcourt call—
But Mark Davis did.
Yeah.
He was guessing.
He was guessing because he couldn't possibly know whether there was contact or not. The backcourt call, that's a mistake because you have to see that one, obviously, because it's not an advantage-disadvantage call. It really isn't. It's— Did he get over the line and establish himself or not? And it's got to be obvious that he didn't for you to make that call, because the play is not going to be materially affected by whether he's, you know, an Adamsworth backcourt or not. It doesn't matter.
Right.
So call it when it's obvious. Let it go if it's not. And that one wasn't obvious.
And there was a point in game two, I believe, where Jordan Poole was kind of moseying up a little slower than normal, and he got called for a backcourt.
That was a better call than this one was.
I'll give you that much, because maybe you at least had a shot clock looking at it and you said, all right, 8 seconds has expired.
Yeah, I mean, if you see that it's 15, yeah, you sort of have to call that one.
Yeah, you do.
But this one was, it's one that had no effect on the play that was to come. and yet you're calling it because you got no idea.
League memo.
Stop with the league memo. There is such a thing as basic human incompetence, and that's what that call was.
There is. But a man who sees corruption everywhere can't see that the Golden State Warriors are the biggest magnet to eyeballs in this league, and the more games you get a Golden State Warriors basketball is good for the NBA.
Well, then why exactly is the league memo always seeming to be to punish the Warriors?
Because they need them to – they got to force them into losses to extend a series because you can't count on the Dallas Mavericks to get you to a game five.
Well, you could – I don't know that even three guys who were mobbed up could save the Mavs at this point.
No, at this point, it's
over.
I mean,
if you don't want to take a good shot, then you deserve what you get. And that's the most disturbing thing, and it's the one reason why when people rave about Luka, as you did, there is the notion that you can be dragged down by the people around you. And in this series, he's been dragged down by his teammates. Not in the Phoenix series, so I know that Dallas can do better than this. But in this series, for whatever reason, they've decided we have to shoot more threes because they apparently think that that's what the Warriors' offense is, even though the Warriors' offense has been much better inside the arc than behind it.
Well, look, I guess you dance with the girl that brung you. And shooting an awful lot of threes is what brought the Dallas Mavericks past Phoenix into this series. But, man, it ain't working now, that is for sure, and no adjustments have been made, and that's why it's 3-0 Golden State Warriors with a chance to close it out tomorrow night. This is Truth, calling from 101 northbound. Speaking of shooting, he wants to talk about Dallas shooting. What's going on, Truth?
Yes, indeed. Obviously, the spot-up shooter, especially if they have length, from the outside, is a very coveted commodity in the NBA now, and everybody's trying to put as many of those players as they can on the roster. And everybody's talking about, I think, the wrong talking point with the Mavericks roster is you can't make an adjustment that you don't actually have in your game. And this is, unfortunately, from being an obsessive fantasy basketball player, that I have this knowledge and I've carried all these guys at different times. But those second-tier scorers in Finney Smith, Bullock, Bertans, and Kleber, they don't have other aspects to their game offensively. So there really is not an adjustment to them to be made. It's the whole, Tiger can't change its stripes thing, where the Warriors have the luxury of being a little bit more dynamic, and a lot of other teams do as well, of making those sort of adjustments. There is no adjustment for the Mavs to make. It's make or miss for them, and I think, everyone's hammering on, why are they not going to the basket? It's like, have you ever watched Davis or Bertans play basketball, or Kleber play basketball, or Finney Smith play basketball? Or collectively, the percentage of shots and that whole pool of those second tier of scorers, which you need, because they're definitely getting the production out of their top guys. You're going to need, it doesn't have to be all of them, but one or two of them, and it doesn't matter how they get their points, but they're going to have to score. The problem is they are so one-dimensional, not just by choice. Like, that's what their game has always been. And I just think it's an interesting case study because they might be the first team that overcorrected in getting long spot-up shooters.
Here's the thing. You're not going to go very far against a team like the Warriors if you got no plan B to even install should plan A not be working. If you are plan A or nothing, that's maybe how you're down 3-0 to the Warriors, because the Warriors have stomped out the Dallas Mavericks plan A. That's for sure. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. We got a visit with Steve Kerr coming up in less than 20 minutes here on 95.7 The Game, so stay tuned. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch. Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now back to Damon and Ratto. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Curry will bring it across. Takes to the logo. Goes left on Brunson. Driving in. Skipped it over to Wiggins. Wiggins puts it on the deck. He'll drive the glass. Goes up.
Oh, oh my goodness. Oh, they're going to call it an offensive foul on Wiggins.
Steve Kerr's got to call a timeout. He may challenge that. Dear the sun, my morning, babe. Nothing in the
morning. I'd say we've officially reached our Kanye West quota of the day. I mean, at least use a banger from the guy. Good Lord, Andrew Wiggins deserves better than that. Welcome back. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto with you here on 95.7 The Game. The music snob had to come out there. Good Lord. I'm going to teach you kids some class before it's all said and done. We have Steve Kerr joining us at the top of the hour. Looking forward to saying hello to him. Obviously, we got ourselves an unbelievable situation that if you say you saw it coming, I think you're lying just a little bit. I thought the Warriors would get past the Dallas Mavericks. I didn't think sweep was going to be in the equation. I really didn't. It is a tremendous accomplishment to see where the Warriors are. Again, when we last talked to you on Friday, there was a series. Today, the series is now all but over. The amount of teams that have ever come back from down 0-3 are zero. And that's not the team that's going to do it, and the Warriors aren't the team that's going to allow it. I think we can see that. By the way, if you can see who's going to hit 56 consecutive times in a row in Major League Baseball, you need to go ahead and start listening to the Beat the Streak Daily Podcast on the Odyssey app. $5.6 million is up for grabs. If you can beat the streak, good luck. It's like getting hit by a bolt of lightning. Twice in each year.
And as much fun.
Oh, no. $5.6 million is more fun than getting hit by two bolts of lightning. But
okay.
I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, but I don't know how much time I want to spend finding out.
No, well, therein lies the rub, does it not? You cannot win a contest that you do not enter.
Very true.
Should you think you can guess who's going to hit safely in 56 consecutive Major League contests, go ahead and start. Hey, maybe you just want to roll out Machado over and over again because that guy hit an awful lot over the weekend. We will continue talking about that. But
oh, never mind him.
Besides the awful musical choice, I did enjoy the Andrew Wiggins rejoin explosion. Again, Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller.
Brunson defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins. Goes by Bullock.
Whoa!
But they're going to wipe it away.
They called it an offensive foul.
Wow.
Wow. Again in Spanish.
10-38 para Dallas. Wiggins. ¡Onda! La canasta. ¡Qué clavada de Wiggins! Pero es una falta ofensiva.
Is there a swear word in that? I think there's a swear word in that.
I'm guessing not.
I'm thinking there are. There might be one there. I don't know. I want to hear it again.
10-38 para Dallas. Wiggins. ¡Onda!
Right there.
La canasta. ¡Qué clavada de
no?
Wiggins! Pero es una falta ofensiva.
Spanish call on ESPN Deportes. Either way, I love it. I'm glad we're playing it. Look, what we've seen from Andrew Wiggins, it's awesome to watch it actually happen. 27 points, 11 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive glass. It is a spectacular arrival for a guy who's pretty much only been defined by what he hasn't been. He hasn't been the guy who's lived up to that paycheck. He hasn't been the guy that you can build an entire team around. He hasn't been the guy that you normally get with the number one overall pick in the draft. And that is all anyone wanted to hear about Andrew Wiggins. Our pal, Nick Wright, who, by the way, will be stopping by for his annual crucifixion on Wednesday. Yeah, Nick Wright will be stopping by. A little bit later on this week to talk about all he is underestimated about the Warriors once again. And, you know, I saw there was an awful lot of circulating what he said about how Andrew Wiggins was going to be the death of the Golden State Warriors, how Andrew Wiggins was going to be a guy who essentially assured that they would never be returning to the NBA Finals. And he never, not once did our friend, my pal, Nick Wright, consider the fact that the Warriors are actually the key that unlocks a player, not the franchise that gets locked up by a player you think is an underachiever. And that is just absurd. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about Andrew Wiggins after game three.
Yeah, it was an amazing dunk. We've seen Wiggs do that before, where if he gets a head of steam and he can get that 2-foot jump, he's so explosive. I was surprised at the call, but glad we had the challenge left.
I am glad they had that challenge left too, because that 2 points, that needs to stand, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable game. Unbelievable unfolding of a series here that the Warriors can fold up, put in their pocket. And if they do, Ray, the NBA Finals begins on June 2nd. If the Warriors really can end the Western Conference Finals in four, they wouldn't play for over a week. They would get 8 solid days of rest and then tip off against either Boston or Miami at home in what would be day number 9 after they put the Mavericks to bed. It's set up perfectly. I don't want to go jinxing anything. I don't want to go projecting what might be, could be. But for the Warriors to get that amount of layoff, if they can really wrap this sucker up in four, I mean, that could be Otto Porter Jr. back in the room. And we'll see whether or not he might be back in the room in this series if it goes beyond tomorrow night, because he hurt himself, obviously. That could be Gary Payton II getting back. That could be Andre Iguodala getting back. And those are, you know, three big pieces. Three big pieces is Steve Kerr continues to tinker with his options. How about Moses Moody? Where did that come from? Moses Moody is getting minutes ahead now of Damian Lee, when it looked like Damian Lee was going to be, you know, turned to after all. And now it's Moses Moody getting reps. It's kind of goofy how many different options Steve Kerr really does have.
But he seems to have an idea about why he's using them. And when you talk about Porter coming back and Payton coming back and Iguodala coming back, it's almost as though they have too many guys.
I mean, it's a great problem to have.
No, I understand it, but I've never heard of a team that basically says, well, we got 10 and we got to figure out a way to use them.
Except for the Warriors.
No, that's what I'm saying. That this is the outlier, and it may be why when people say that Steve Kerr doesn't know what he's doing, it's that they try to look at the last thing they saw and make that a policy statement. When in fact, Steve Kerr understands one thing more than anybody else, is that every game is different. Every problem has a different solution. And if you have enough tools in your box, you can pretty much solve nearly anything. Now, in this series, he doesn't need a solution for the thing that is killing Dallas, which is its own shot selection. But when you're talking about, you know, where did Moses Moody come from? This is a series that fits him. You know, in the same way that it's a series that doesn't really fit Jonathan Kuminga. But nobody thinks Kuminga's buried. It's just you have your moments, and when you have one, it's a good idea to seize it.
Xfinity Mobile text line says he had 1 point, Damon. Yeah, but he also had a huge offensive rebound after that missed free throw, which turned into a Klay Thompson three, which was basically where the game ended. I know that Dallas did make things interesting. What did they have, a 12-0, 14-0 run, whatever it was at the end of that game? But even through that, even as the lead got close to 5 before Jordan Poole hit that dagger three from the corner, I didn't think they were back in it. I just didn't. As close as that got, I thought the Warriors are in control of this. Absolutely in control of it. They got the right guy, the right shooters to close it out.
And let's be honest, it's probably Porter's injury that allows Moody to get off the bench at all.
Sure.
But he got 16 minutes. It wasn't just, oh, I'll put him out there for a few minutes and then I'll figure something else out. He bought into Moody for that game. Now, if Porter can go tomorrow night, I think you'll find Moody sitting again because Porter has to have his minutes. But, and he does more things than Moody does. But for one night, he trusted Moses Moody for one third of a basketball game.
And you said go out there and throw a little defense at one of the best young offensive players the league has ever seen. And Moody held his own. Steph Curry knows an awful lot about guys working hard to get minutes. And he talked about Moses Moody today.
Extremely talented, high IQ, young guy that works tirelessly to be ready. I wish there was like a, whatever Clutch Sports doing. They got to do a documentary on just how he approaches his season, because the behind the scenes of like how he works, going game speed, his consistent effort every day, not knowing if he's going to play the next day, going back and forth from the G League, all that stuff. Like, you can tell somebody it's going to pay off because your number's going to be called. Does a person buy into that? Do they believe it? Do they actually come with that right approach every day? And then you get to a situation where he's thrown into a Western Conference Finals game and it makes a big difference and plays extremely well. Seems very, very composed. The speed of the game didn't overwhelm him. All that stuff matters. And it didn't just happen last week or yesterday. It was from day one when he showed up this summer. So it's pretty special to see it all kind of pay off for a young guy that works his butt off.
It almost sounds like he's talking about Jordan Poole there for a minute, or Jonathan Kuminga for a minute. So there is a culture that new arrivals buy into quickly. I also think that they need credit for being self-starters, which everyone says is what defines Poole's improvement and what is now, you know, getting Moses Moody involved. And oh, by the way, he did play in game two as well. He was playing late, important fourth quarter minutes. So there is a belief that he fits this series. We're going to ask Steve Kerr all about this. By the way, as he gets to join us here in our 4 o'clock hour, now I want to let everyone know that Ray recorded a brand new top of the hour station identification. Let's hear the love and passion that he put into it together.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.